We've considered the unusual place where Christ was born. We looked at the town of Bethlehem, and you would not imagine that a king would be born in a little town of Bethlehem, known as House of Bread. Also, you would not imagine the setting, the manger scene where Christ was born. Maybe in a little carved area of the hillside, a rock area in a manger, not very likely of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Today we're going to talk about this matter of joy. I trust today you came with joy in your heart and not complaining about having to have Christmas on the same day as church. All right? That would not be a good thing to have that kind of an attitude. But I want to focus in today on two verses. If you have your Bibles, turn them to Luke chapter 2. We can even look at the context a little bit. It's been already been read for you. But if you have your Bibles, Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. I don't have my watch. Now, there is a clock back there, so I guess I can kind of go as long as I want. But I won't. All right. Verse 10 says, "And the angel said to them," the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." There's a lot in those two verses, and we'll consider that in just a moment, but I want us to think about this matter of joy as it relates to the world around us. How does the world around us, your friends, your neighbors, maybe even some of your family members, view this time of year, and what brings happiness? As I have interacted with a lot of different people throughout the course of a week, police officers, caregivers at Bickford Assisted Living, my neighbors, I find that these are the typical responses I get for what the world says will bring happiness. I can't tell you the number of times people will say, "Pastor, if I win the lottery, I will come and give you some of the offering. I'll put some in the offering." I tell them, "Don't worry. Don't play it. Don't do that. You know, you'll never win anyway, so don't worry about it, all right?" But I talk to some, they can't wait for the weekend so they can get wasted. All they live for is pleasure, making it weekend to weekend. Entertainment, money, things, it will somehow couch the sadness, the discouragement, the despair that some of them have in their families or in their own personal lives. But there's a lot more to life than that, isn't there? There's a joy that I want to talk about. And in fact, I want you to just think with me for a moment. What are some of the things, not considering the Christmas story yet, but just on an earthly plane, what are some things that bring you joy at this time of year? Interact with me for just a moment.
Being home.
Being home. Yes, and we're glad you're home. What's that?
Family.
Christmas music. Something about the season. Now, again, when they start at Halloween or earlier, it's a little bit much. But it is wonderful to have this set the stage. Yes. What else? Yes.
Beautiful lights.
Beautiful lights. Isn't that kind of neat? Something about lights. I'm enjoying my neighbor's lights. Yeah. He decorated, went to all the time to do that. It was great. What else? What brings you joy? Yes.
Snow.
Hey, oh yeah. Well, you have to understand that was a California girl speaking there. So, okay. Yes. Yes.
Giving gifts.
Yes. Anything else?
Smiles.
What's that? Smiles. Yes. It's amazing. And the joy and the laughter in the household as they approach gift-giving time. How about another one? Anything else?
Christmas dinner.
Oh, wow. We'll be over. But as we think about things that bring us joy, I was kind of thinking in my own personal reasons why I am joyful at this time of year, and some of those overlapped, many of them overlapped with what you mentioned, giving and receiving gifts. The anticipation of someone opening a gift that you spent time looking for them. Isn't that fun to do that? And the anticipation, and I remember little Aiden as he's ready to open that first gift, little 1.5-year-old, almost two, And he pulls out the paper, and he spent the next 5 minutes playing with the paper. Oh, but gift giving. It's fun to see our grandchildren, my boys, my daughter-in-laws receiving gifts, and it's fun, isn't it? I think of another thing. I got to set the stage a little bit. We had a huge TV that actually the Barretts had given to us. And we were wondering, you know what? I would like to give it to someone else to share in that. And so what we did is my son, I have no clue how to do this. He went on Craigslist and said, hey, we've got a TV. If you can use it, we want to give it to you. And sure enough, last night, about 8 o'clock, we received word through Josh. He's in Indiana. He got a little word on Craigslist. Hey, is that TV still available? And the family had sat down at the table. They had had Christmas dinner, and they were ready to watch Christmas movies all the rest of the evening into the early morning, and their TV died. And so I got a word that this guy would want to come from Round Lake to come over and pick up our TV. So we put it in his minivan, and he wrote this. I got it home and hooked it up. It's working great. Thank you. You saved our Christmas. All the best to you and yours this Christmas season. God bless. You know, that brought me so much joy. In fact, I was in tears as I read that over a thing like a TV. We had some brand new seats that were in our Chevy G20 1992. We had them in our basement, brand spanking new. All these years, we've been carting them along with us. And we found a place, Jeff's Auto over next door. Somebody was fixing up a van. It was just what they needed. It's just kind of cool how things like that happen. My dad, as many of you know, went through 2 surgeries, really went through some really rough times with it, and we wondered if he would end up blind in that eye. Just got a report yesterday that he's doing well. He's improving. And that brings great joy to my heart. Last Christmas, my son was engaged to a beautiful girl. And this year, we had the newly married couple in our household. It was really fun. Just fun to see that. Brought great joy to our hearts. Spending time with the family, with the grandkids, was a joy. This was one of the few moments when Aiden actually sat down for a moment. Oh my goodness. He wakes up early and he does not stop. And I know why God gave children to young people and not to grandparents. Well, we wouldn't be, but just why he doesn't give them to older folks. Oh my. But what a joy he was. What a joy to see them loving on Jason and to see the impact that Jason has had in their life. They have to spend time loving on Jason, and he loves it as well. Dressing up, running around, having little fights, it's just really, really fun. Seeing Uncle Michael now and Aunt Claire, enjoying time with the kids, going to the movies, and really spending time. It's all about spending time with family. And of course, as you may notice in this photo, little Aiden is the newest one to the family. Was adopted just a month ago, and they're actually wanting to adopt another child this next year. And I don't know if I can handle it if they all come, all 4 kids. We spent a week together, and I am tired. When they left, our place came together remarkably. It had looked like it was blown up for a week, and it's amazing how quiet, but I'm sure I will miss it in a month or two. No, I'm just kidding. We have had so much fun. But you know what? There's something even better that brings lasting joy. And of course, that comes to our Christmas account before us in Luke chapter 2. All the things are great, but this is greater. The good news of having the opportunity to have a right relationship with God should bring the greatest joy of all. In fact, some of you have mentioned in text or in person, you know what, this is really my true family. People who understand what it means to have a relationship with Christ and love the Savior, love this time for the real reason of Christ being the center of it all. Some don't have that privilege. Some don't have family that care at all about Christ. I can't help but think about the little girl that was quoting for a Christmas program, and she was quoting John 3:16. And she said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten Son, And I think that that really speaks to many of the families that we are associated with, some in our families and our neighbors, that there is no Christ. There's no emphasis on him at all. And we want to bring what really should be the emphasis today and the reminder of what really is important to us. One writer has put it this way as he looked at Luke chapter 2 and put this passage in perspective. And he said this, Christmas is a delightful disruption of the way things normally go. That's for sure when it happened to the shepherds. I mean, can you imagine them on the hillside, maybe with a little bonfire, a little fire there to keep themselves warm. They're sitting around it and the sheep are in their pen and things are going well. And all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord shone round about them and these angels, an angel spoke to them and told them about the birth of the Christ child. One minute they're tending sheep and the next minute they're scared out of their minds at the angelic announcement. In our text before us, as we consider the Christmas account here in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 mentions some key words that need to be remembered at this time of year. Good news is one of them. It says here, and the angel said, "Fear not, for I bring you good news." If any of you are in the habit of sitting and watching news in the evening, it gets a little depressing, doesn't it? We've had some interesting things in the news over the last year. And if there's anything we need, it's good news. And in this text, it reminds us that there is some great news that we have. Also, the emphasis is on the birth of Christ. And we'll talk some more about that. But right in the heart of the passage, that's what it's all about. The focus is on verse 11. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then the association of joy with the good news and the birth of Christ. I love what's said here. It doesn't just say joy. What does it say in our text, class? What kind of joy? Great joy. In fact, the Greek word, it's from the root word megas, or mega is how we get the English word, mega joy. If we want mega joy today, we have to go back to the good news about Jesus Christ and his birth. The joy we're talking about is long-lasting, not based on circumstances. In fact, this is a joy that can be in our hearts even when our world falls apart. Many of you have had a challenging year. Trials, heartache, illness, all kinds of things. And yet, isn't it nice to know that there is a joy that we can have in the midst of it all? And so let's talk about that for just a moment. What is so special about this good news in the Christmas story found in Luke chapter 2? I'd like to give you four things that are special. There's so much that can be extracted from a passage like this, but I'm just going to bring out four, maybe a little different than what you normally would have, but try to make it a little different this year than every other year we've talked about this passage. Number one. The good news about the Savior brings great joy because it's undeserved. This morning as we gather together, we are a bunch of undeserving sinners who are the recipients of the greatest news ever given to this world. If that doesn't bring joy, then we have a leaky joy valve. That ought to bring great joy and rejoicing to our hearts. Again, imagine the shepherds on the hillside in the dark, and all of a sudden now the glory of the Lord shone around them and this angel starts announcing about the birth of Christ. It's a picture for us, a vivid picture for us, of the darkness that this world has been in, was in before the birth of Christ. No hope apart from the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that was promised, coming to this world. There was an anticipation. Throughout the Old Testament, we find he's coming. He's coming. And then at Christ's birth, he's here to an undeserving people. Think back with me for a moment of Mount Sinai, when the people went to Mount Sinai. And there they were at Mount Sinai, and then thunder started happening, and a voice from the mountaintop, which was God's presence on the mountain. Don't touch the mountain or you would die. Lightning, thunder, all kinds of things. There was great fear. God and all of His holiness. We see a picture there of God's holiness and His purity. He cannot stand sin. And God would have been just and righteous had He just condemned us all to be separated from Himself forever. And yet He provided a way that we could be right with Him. Not based on what we did, not based on anything we did to deserve it, but based on the sheer grace of sending a Savior, a deliverer for us. So first thing, boy, that's great news, isn't it? Amen. It's undeserved, but He graciously provided a way. Second, the good news about the Savior brings great joy because it can be trusted. You can depend on this message. You can depend on this good news. We have a lot of word today about false news or fake news that's going around that is kind of perpetuated on Facebook and on all kinds of social media. This is not fake news. There were eyewitnesses, especially Mary and Joseph. I mean, they were surprised by it all themselves. There were shepherds that didn't anticipate hearing about this one that would be born. And the fact that they were the recipients of that message. If you look back at the beginning again of the Luke's gospel, you find some interesting words there as Dr. Luke is writing to Theophilus. And he writes these words. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. Dr. Luke's emphasis as he writes this gospel under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his goal is to that these details would provide us with certainty in an uncertain world, would remind us of the things that really matter, things that really happened, and that's the birth of the Savior, the life of the Savior, the death of the Savior, and the resurrection. All of those things he goes on to record in close detail. These truths are not fairy tale. They are things that we can stake our lives on. This good news can be trusted. It's history. It's His story. It's true. And these are things that God wanted us to know so that we could have a relationship with Him. Third, the good news about the Savior brings great joy, but because it involves a special person. I find it interesting as you look at verse 10. It says this, "Fear not, I bring you good news." Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day a baby." You would think that maybe that would be the one. Here's a baby, go find the baby. But it's not even mentioned. As the announcement is made, it says, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign, you'll find a baby in a manger." The whole emphasis here is on the amazing person of the Christmas account. It's all about Christ. Around here we brag a lot about Christ. We make big of Christ. Savior. We considered some other names in Luke chapter 1 last week. Here in the account before us, it mentions again, Savior, Deliverer. Delivers us from our sins. Christ. That is a wonderful name. It talks about, it means Messiah, the Anointed One. Lord, I mean Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the great I Am, God. So again, we're talking about a special person. This is the God-man. In Colossians chapter 1, it talks about Jesus being the creator and sustainer of all things. Hebrews 1, He is greater than all. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Isaiah in the Old Testament, He's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the what? Prince of Peace. On and on it goes, his names that describe for us that it's the person where joy can be found. Joy is found in the person of Jesus Christ. This is the message of Christmas. And number four, the good news about the Savior brings great joy because it is for all people. All people. The next slide reminds us of the fact that good news was offered to all. It's offered to the known and the unknown, the rich and the poor, young and old, wise and simple, women and men, Jews and Gentiles. This is a message for all. The religious, like Zacharias and the priest and his wife Elizabeth. The poor, like Mary and Joseph. The elderly, like Simeon and Anna. The blue-collar workers, like the shepherds. The rich, the wise men. The message of Christmas is for everyone. I can't help but think about even Jesus' life reminds us of this tremendous reach to everyone. Christ reached out to government workers like the Roman centurion and Levi, the tax collector. He reached out to common laborers like fishermen and pulled them into his inner circle. He reached out to outcasts like the woman at the well, the demon-possessed man, lepers and sick. He reached out to the elite, like Paul. The question I have for you this morning, I'd like you to leave before we sing a few more songs, is this. What impact has the Christmas message made on you? As you come this morning, you're hearing the message of Christ. What does Christ's birth and life and death and resurrection do for you? If you believe in Christ and receive Him as your personal Savior, the Bible reminds us that we can go from bound by sin to being forgiven. To having no hope, the Bible describes that as our natural state. Our default is the fact that we have no hope, but we can be full of certainty, and heaven is our home. We go from death to life, life eternal, from being depressed and no hope to full of joy, from foreigners to family. How will you respond to the good news today? Will you receive it? By receive, we mean believe or trust in it. Will you trust in the good news of Jesus Christ to give you lasting joy? The other thing is, will you share it? Will you share the good news that brings joy with others? That's the natural tendency. When you receive good news, you want to share it. There were people who rejected it, like Herod. But there were people who obediently responded and said, I want to be used of you, God. Use me. I believe in Christ. Today, what is your response? I trust that you will not leave this place today without making a decision to put your trust in the good news. And I guarantee you, you'll have a joy that you've never experienced before. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we rejoice in the birth of the Savior. We rejoice in the fact that this baby in a manger was God. And it was a clear picture to us of your love. You loved us enough that you didn't want us to go our own way and do our own thing without any hope in mind for eternity. But you cared enough to come into history, to come in flesh and to live among us and show us the way and show us what we needed to do to put our faith and trust in Christ alone. For there is salvation in no one else except through Jesus Christ alone. And so, Father, today may each person that's here examine their heart and make changes. The first change being to believe, to trust in Christ. Thank you for this reminder today. Thank you for this glorious day. In Jesus' precious name, amen.